Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Sound Insight. This is Tom Curran. It is a Faith and Family Friday, and I am flying solo. Carrie is here attending to my four kids that are flying in from Franciscan University. And so I'm going to talk a bit about this Advent season and how to battle against anxiety, of all things, and other forms of concern that we have in our lives. Back in a minute. Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com. Welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. Let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord our God, I thank you that you are a God of peace and a God who comes to us in those times of trouble. You draw near to us in times where we are a little bit overwhelmed by the things that are happening in our lives. Lord our God, I ask you to bless every single person who listens to my voice, especially those who are troubled, those who are struggling right now with the stress of the season and are facing anxiety, are facing a sense of being overwhelmed. Lord, I ask that you would move into their hearts and their minds. Give them grace, Lord. Give us grace, Lord, to surrender, to let go, to give over. Lord, please come to us now, for we are looking to you for all that we need today. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I want to welcome you to the program. There's a lot of stress around the holidays, a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, a lot of things stir up. Now, this Faith and Family Friday, I thought what stirred in me as I prayed and thought about, Lord, what do you want me to talk about? Because Carrie and I at this time of year might talk about gifts and events and things to do over the Christmas season, you know, with your family in town. But something that showed up for me as I was preparing myself was that theme of anxiety. Anxiety is a common feature of life today. People feel a bit out of control. People feel a bit like, is there any solid ground? Is there a sense of stability? People can feel, here's how I want to put it. We can be our own worst enemy. We can be, and we often are, our own worst enemy. I think that there are several ways that that happens. I think one way is perfectionism. And there's a way in which we have a certain idea in our minds of what ought to be, and we drive to achieve that, in that what ought to be in this season of the year is often about how my family ought to be, how my surroundings, my environment, my home, the things that are in my life, how they ought to be. And that distance that exists between what is and what ought to be in our minds, that gap, when it's focused on, when it's felt in a painful way, it can lead us to disappointment, frustration. It can lead us to this sense of, what can I do to close the gap? What can I do in my mind to make this event that much more special, that much more beautiful. I wanted to achieve what it is meant to be in my mind, and I don't know how to get it there. People aren't cooperating. People aren't getting in line. Things aren't happening the way that I want them to. Does that make any sense?
Well, I think it does.
So here's the thing. When we become anxious about this image we have in our minds of what ought to be, whether it's the way this event should have turned out, the way that our house ought to be appearing, the way that our kids ought to be behaving, the way that all these different things, they don't just stay inside of us. When we become impacted in a deeply personal and an emotional way about that, and it manifests itself with a sense of anxiety, that's the opposite of what? Of peace. Peace, remember that the beautiful definition of peace is the tranquility that comes when things are in order. Tranquilitas ordinis. And that's from Augustine. Peace is the tranquility of order. Tranquilitas, the calm sea, right? The undisturbed surface of the lake, which is so beautiful. What a beautiful image of tranquility, tranquilitas. It's serene. It's serenity. Right? That serenity prayer of St. Teresa of Avila. All of these different images that come from these great saints. And by the way, we're going to go to the scriptures for a source of strength and nourishing to overcome anxiety. It's not just about talking about anxiety and stress and distress. It's about finding a way out. So I am leading us towards paths out, paths beyond. But first, let me say, if you're experiencing some of this stress, distress, or anxiety, because of the way in which we're imagining things and they're not happening, that's one way that we're our own worst enemy. There's a second facet to that, let's call it that gem, I was going to call it a diamond, but anxiety is not a diamond, but just think of a stone that has many facets, right? And another facet of anxiety is comparison. It's when we compare ourselves to others. Now, honestly, it's a deadly sin, envy, right? Envy is what? Sadness over someone else's good. Oh, your kid has got all A's or is a champion this or is best at that. Oh, I'm so happy for you. That does happen. That does happen. But I think that there's also that sense of, well, why does it always happen for them? Why doesn't that happen for me or for my kid? And that comparative sin, envy, is something that's more common with women than men. So women say, and I think it's true. That's not a big contentious statement, right? Just like they say lust is a sin that more men struggle with than women, which I also think is true. Okay. So, but the sin of comparison, which is envy, or of jealousy, I want what they have. You know, envy is, I'm sad they have it. Jealousy is, I want that. So those things can also lead to a sense of anxiety, a sense of, I feel this pressure to keep up. I feel this sadness that I don't have what they have, or I'm sad that they have those goods and they're not part of my life. And they're real things that we deal with. And I think that they get worsened, they get amplified, exacerbated in this holiday season. And on top of that, but let's layer on another source of anxiety. It's when things go wrong. Things go wrong unexpectedly. And instead of having the gift, the virtue of hilaritas, not taking ourselves too seriously, we can fall into this sense of anxiety, this sense of again, frustration, this sense of sadness, and even just become really fragile in our own sense of self. We can become very fragile about our sense of identity or of self-worth, or fragile in how we're relating to others, right? We can become sort of triggered quickly and then show up in ugly ways. And all of those things, right, those are part and parcel of what comes at us, what can bombard us in the, I'm going to call it the holiday season, the holiday stresses and pressures, rather than the Christmas season. The Christmas season is what Advent leads to. Advent is about Christ coming towards us. It's the coming of God towards us, and we stand with expectant waiting. And the first two Sundays of Advent were full candle Sundays. They were about undertaking a rigorous path, right? Penances, doing things that would strip away the blockages to Christ's coming into our lives, right? You've heard me talking about this on Sound Insight. Well, what are we going to do to remove that blockage to the coming of Christ in our life, which is the anxieties of life, of daily life, the pressures of day-to-day affairs, the pursuit of worldly goods, and relating to them in broken ways, like through envy and jealousy, through the comparative sins. Jesus talks about this in the scriptures. He talks about the seed that gets sown into different kinds of soil, right? The soil that gets trampled on the path and gets stolen away by Satan, the birds of the air that pluck it away, right? That's one soil. The second soil is the ones that lack depth. And so in times of trial and difficulty, well, all of a sudden they fall away. But what's the third one? The third one, it's not about the soil isn't good, but the seeds land among the thistles and the thorns. And so when the growth actually happens, so there's actual growth here, it gets choked off. And Jesus actually refers to one of these things that chokes off the Word of God from our lives. The Word of God growing in us are the anxieties of the present day, the stresses and pressures that are part of our life. And I'm here on Sound Insight today to say, the Lord has a way out. He is coming towards you today. If you're feeling some of those stresses and pressures, distress, the sense of being overwhelmed, wrap all that up in a bow and call it the anxieties of the present moment. And the Lord has for you freedom. He wills for you peace. He intends for you healing, so that the things that right now that are occupying your mind, that are troubling your heart, that those things can be addressed. Those things can be addressed. Okay, I want you to hear this. This is really important. A lot of how the Lord is going to, not all, but a lot of how the Lord is going to address the reality of the stresses and pressures and distress and anxieties and all of those senses of being overwhelmed are actually inside of you. It's actually dealing with you, with your heart, your mind, your memory, your emotions, your will. It's going to be the Lord coming close to you. It's going to be the Lord washing over you. It's going to be the Lord surging within you. It's going to be the Lord washing, cleansing graces over your life. Aren't those beautiful ways of describing something happening, right? Washing over, surging up and cleansing from within, being able to move and to touch at the core, those things that are holding us hostage. We're held hostage by our own emotional reaction. And the emotional reaction that's happening at the felt visible level is often traced back to something that is happening at a deeper level. So we're coming up against a break here. But when we come back, we are going to look to God's word. We're going to look to the scriptures. And God's word, which it gets choked off by the anxieties of the present moment, you know, God's word is going to root and is going to choke off those thorns and thistles. And what will remain is tranquillitas ordinis, the peace that comes from God. Get ready. Hey, welcome back to the program. All right, so God is at work. He's at work in this program because he desires you to find a path out of being your own worst enemy, a path out of living in a situation, in a personal, deeply felt condition that leaves me anxious, afraid, distressed, all of those things that I've said. And the path out is not something that we figure out, right? How many times you might see people who are stressed out about things and you'll say to them, hey, relax. Don't say that. That doesn't work, right? Hey, come on. You shouldn't be concerned about that. Or why are you being so hard on yourself? Or hey, you have to get out of your own head. I'll say that sometimes too. The basketball players that I'm coaching, you know, they're high schoolers. Most of them, for almost all of them, this is their first time playing varsity basketball or playing basketball at all. And, you know, things are very different when you're drawing it up or you're watching a video or you're in practice and you're in a comfortable environment. And all of a sudden, you're in the game and things just go out of whack inside, right? Oh, wait a minute. This isn't anything at all. This doesn't feel at all like what I thought it was going to feel like when I was going over it in my mind and going over it in practice, right? When that kind of thing happens, it's like, well, what do I do now? Because, you know, life is not a game. Life is not a game. And the things that you're facing, they're real. Now, the things that you're experiencing are real, but the things that you're associating them with, maybe we can find a different way of relating to them. Maybe we can find a different way of having those things live in our minds and in our hearts. That's what I'm going to help with. And I'm going to help with it, not by giving you like a therapy session, a psychotherapist would or a psychologist would. No, I'm going to lean on and look to God's word, the scriptures. The word of God, it really and truly has power. God's word is powerful enough to move into secret places, the recesses of our hearts, our minds, our souls, our wills, our imagination, our memory, our thinking, the way we think about things, our emotions, those passions and appetites that are inside of us. The power of God's word is that the one who created us, he knows every hair on our heads. Isn't this a great place to start in Matthew chapter 6? It's the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7. In Matthew 6, What does he talk about? Look at the birds of the air. Look at the flowers of the field. They're not worrying about what are we to eat? What are we to drink? What are we to wear? It's just the people of this world, the foolish ones who don't involve God in the realities that they're facing. They're always chasing after these things. They're always worried about these things. But what does Jesus say to us? He says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has worries enough all by itself. Focus on right now. Focus on today. And in the right now moment, in this moment where you're experiencing this trouble, all these things that I've been talking about, sum them up in the word anxiety. And these anxieties, sufficient for right now, for today, are the anxieties connected to the right now moment? And Jesus gives an answer. He says, stop chasing after those things. Stop chasing after things. And honestly, think about it. Our chasing after these things might be chasing after having the house in perfect order, having the kids in perfect order, having our finances in perfect order, having the way we relate in perfect order, having our kids' decisions be in perfect order, having our own physical appearance be in perfect order, having the situations that are in our lives that make us feel vulnerable, might be a financial thing, where we just feel vulnerable. Like, how is that going to be resolved? What's the plan? What's the path? What's the way out? And there's not a simple answer that says, oh, just move this to here. Just go do that, and it's all taken care of. It's not one of those realities. It's one of those realities that you're going to be asked to take a step forward. Just take a small step forward. Take the next step forward. And this is where discernment is so important. You see, because when we turn to God, and this is what I'm going to talk about, because Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, he says, seek first the solution to your anxieties, and then everything else will be fine. That is not what he says. Jesus, the Lord, says what? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of these other things will be added unto you. They'll be taken care of. It's this powerful truth that Jesus is manifesting right now. He's speaking it 2,000 years ago, but get ready to be shocked. You who are alive in December of 2023, you're listening to this program. You who are alive when you're listening to it, Jesus, when he spoke those words, seek first the kingdom of God and his way of righteousness, and everything else will be added. And what is that everything else? Well, it's all of those things that are in our lives that are sources of that we react to, sorry. Those things that are present in our lives that we end up relating to in a way that brings about a sense of distress, a sense of anxiety, right? And if you can follow what I said there, I just said something that was subtle and important. Some situation that is in your life does not have the power to cause you to be distressed. That situation, like let's say a troubling situation that your teenager's in, your young adult is in. That situation does not have the power to cause you to be distressed. That situation can be dark. It can be difficult. It can be a tribulation and a trial. But the effect it has on you, that's on you. That depends on how you are going to relate to it. How it will impact you is, it's on you. And so when Jesus is saying, seek first the kingdom of God and his way of righteousness, he's saying, let God's kingdom come and break into your life, break into your heart, your soul, your mind, your spirit, your emotions, your and then all these other realities that are around you. You live in relationship with God. You battle to be in relationship with the Lord in a life-giving way. And you know what you'll find? You'll find that all of those situations, every one of them, including the one that's the most troubling, is not apart from God. It's not far from God. It's not somehow separated from what God is doing. The living Lord is, in fact, present and at work, even in that circumstance, even in that relationship, even in that broken situation. And part of our own growth in faith, and this is a really significant part of growing in faith, is allowing the Lord to come more and more fully with his kingdom into the dimensions and aspects and features and facets of our lives, even those parts of our lives that are the most broken, that are the most vulnerable and wounded, and lead us to very easy to understand reactions like feeling distressed and overwhelm and feeling that anxiety. So allowing God's word to be spoken into our lives is more than just like finding a new motto to tape to your mirror or some word of affirmation that is going to encourage you. No, the word of God, who is Jesus Christ, Jesus as the capital W word of God, created the universe. That's the power of God's word. The power of God's word is that the one who is the word, Jesus, has the power to create the universe. And his inspired word, the scriptures, the God-breathed words that are Holy Scripture, these sacred words, sacred writings, are doorways. They are portals. They are places of encounter, places where the living Lord enters in, moves into our lives. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that powerful? Isn't that wonderful? That's what the Lord has for us. That's what the Lord wants for us. And so we're going to explore more scriptures that I'm going to encourage you to take that scripture in, to cling to that word of God, cling to that scripture, and watch what God does to unbind you and set you free from anxiety. Okay, so I have to move now to my favorite passage in the gospel because it builds very beautifully upon the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. But it's found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verse 32, which is, do not live in fear, little flock, for it has pleased the Father to give you the kingdom. Do not live in fear, little flock. It has pleased the Father to give you the kingdom. Why is that so important? Well, it's a powerful complement to what Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. That makes it really, it would be easy to conclude that the initiative is ours. The kingdom of God is something that's sort of like there, like maybe a destination on a map. Seek to find a way to get to Spokane. to get to Boston, to get to Rome. Seek a way to get there, or seek a way to get this. So it puts a lot of emphasis on our action. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these other things will come to you. A beautiful compliment, the other side of that coin, which I think properly gives us the ability to understand what seeking means, seeking first the kingdom of God, is that don't live in fear, little flock. It's pleased the Father to give you the kingdom. The kingdom, it doesn't say, don't live in fear, little flock. If you seek the kingdom, the Father will give it to you. No, don't live in fear, little flock. It's pleased the Father. The Father takes pleasure. He takes joy. He is exuberant. He is rejoicing to be able to pour into your life his kingdom, to welcome you, to cover you with his realm, with his lordly power and his provision, his protection, and his guidance. The Father wants us, his children, to live under the protective care, the provision, and the guidance that he offers to us. Just as our loving Father. That's who he is. And so that means that when there are places in our lives where we feel out of control, there's one that just happened earlier, in the middle of the day, yesterday, I got a text from my daughter, Mary Catherine, and she was anxious. She was really anxious. And why was that? Well, she was in a situation where she would be essentially out of control. Essentially, she did not have control over her own safety and well-being, over her whole life. Well, that sounds pretty dramatic. Well, what was she doing? What was the situation she was in where she would be so out of control and in the hands of other people that she didn't even know? Well, I'll tell you in a minute if you haven't guessed. Back on the Word of God, helping us to address anxiety.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com. Okay, back to Sound Insight.
Hey, welcome back to the program. It's always a joy to be with you. If you enjoy these programs, please listen to the podcast version. Go to mycatholicfaith.org. You can listen to the podcast version right there on mycatholicfaith.org, or you can sign up for the Apple Podcast version of Sound Insight, which is called the Dr. Tom Curran Podcast. Just look up the Dr. Tom Curran Podcast. You'll be able to listen to it on Spotify. You can listen to it on Apple Podcasts. Listen to it on your favorite streaming service. Or just go and it's posted right there on mycatholicfaith.org. And we do this so that if it's a blessing to you, you can go back and listen to it again. You'll be able to let it wash over you, soak into you, sink into you, ponder it, and share it with others. Share it with loved ones. I'm guessing there are loved ones who you know who are feeling a bit powerless in front of the anxiety that they're feeling over the things happening in their lives. This is a program to share with them so that they can find a path forward, a path out. So, what was the situation my daughter was in yesterday? Not just her, but her 3 siblings with her were in this situation where they were almost entirely out of control. They were on an airplane. She's like, I'm getting on an airplane. Please pray for me. I'm so anxious. I'm so anxious over what's going to happen on that plane. Now, I know it sounds silly, but that was her actual condition. And I get it. I mean, I get it from the inside. It's so amazing because that idea of being on an airplane and being nervous, it's more than just nervous. What's it really about? this idea, this fear of crashing, right? Having an airplane crash. Objectively, if you just took a look at the objective fact of the matter, the most dangerous part of a trip home is the ride from the school to the airport. It is like way more dangerous. There are way, statistically off the charts, more accidents and harmful events that can happen between the getting in the car and being driven by a college student from Franciscan University 35 minutes to the airport. That's way more dangerous than the time spent flying, and landing. And then from the airport back to the house, right? That's the other dangerous part of the trip. But what is objectively the case, objectively, factually, statistically the case, what impact does that have on the emotions? What impact does that have on the way that this idea of this journey lives in her heart and mind and manifests itself in her emotions? There's almost like a no correspondence between the objective reality and the subjective experience of it, right? So what was my daughter, Mary Catherine, doing? She was going into the group chat saying, pray for me, pray for me. And I was sending her, hey, here's what I do. I pray the rosary. I pray all the decades of the rosary in the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And then I just keep doing that. I'll get through 3-4 complete rosaries, right? That's 20 decades, 3 or 4 times. And that's, it's also 3 or 4 Divine Mercy Chaplets. And essentially, what happens is I get exhausted from, my anxiety gets exhausted. And that would be my situation for years of flying on planes, was I could try to use my mind to overcome it, but no, it was something deeper. It was something that was going on in the heart. And honestly, all I can tell you is about a year ago when I was flying, the Lord did something and healed me. He healed me profoundly so that when I get on an airplane and I do I still do my rosaries, I don't have the same kind of fear and anxiety. It's gone. It's so very interesting. It's just fascinating. No, it's neither interesting nor fascinating. Sorry. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. It's something that makes me happy. And don't live in fear, Tom. You're part of God's little flock, the Father's little flock. And he's pleased to allow his kingdom, to have his kingdom break into that part of your life where you feel out of control and vulnerable, radically dependent upon others, and being forced to trust. Those parts of your heart, those parts of your life that struggle with that, my kingdom is coming. My kingdom is breaking in. Here I come with power to unbind you and set you free. So my brothers and sisters, you're listening to this program today, And the Lord brought you to this program, some of you, maybe so that you could share it with others that you know that are anxious. But for you who are anxious or overwhelmed with what's going on in your life, I say to you, Matthew 6:33, Luke 12:32, two sides of a coin. The Father's kingdom is being offered to you right now, and he's delighted to do it. He's not skimpy. He's not saying, oh, finally, okay, look, let me just give you a little bit and then I'll move on to more important things. No, you are the one who is important to him right now. And he wants you to be free. And maybe for a long time, like me, for those years, I had to cling to him and continue to look to him and continue to, in the midst of those anxious experiences, look to the Lord and say, I have no place to go but to you, Lord. Where else can I go but to you? And the Lord's faithful. So I'm going to pray for you right now. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to go back to the scriptures. But I just have this sense that I'm supposed to pray right now for those of you that are anxious over situations where you feel deeply, profoundly, that you are out of control, and it is so very difficult to trust. Let's pray. And then I'll pray for other types of anxiety at the end in the next section, because I've got other scriptures to share as well. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we praise you, and we honor you, and we adore you, that you are a God who takes delight in pouring forth your kingdom into our lives. I come right now before you on behalf of, in the place of, and for the sake of these dear ones who are hearing my voice right now, live on the radio or on a podcast recorded later. It is a right now moment. It's a living moment of contact, Father, between your generous, shockingly generous kingdom pouring into the lives of these dear ones who are listening to me. And I pray, Father, for those who are facing situations where they feel out of control. Lord, where they're saying, there's nothing I can do. I'm powerless here. And I don't know how to trust because I don't see a way forward. I don't see a way out. I don't see a path to redemption. And so, Father, for these dear ones, I stand in their place and I say, Father, help me. Help us. Help. Father, come with your kingdom. Come. Don't hold back. Come with your kingdom. Come into the core of our beings and dislodge from them, Father, those things that make it impossible for us to trust you and to welcome your goodness, to welcome your kindness, to welcome your peace. Father, please do it now. Do it in Jesus' holy name. Do it. Holy Spirit, you who are the gift of peace given to us by Jesus, surge within us a waterfall of peace, a fountain of peace. Let it flow within us from within and cleanse us from those sources, those wounded places of anxiety that are exposed in our hearts and minds and our memories, Lord. Father, do that. Please do that. We need you. We are desperate for you, especially in those places where we're overwhelmed because we're powerless. We look to you to be the powerful one, the one with all power, and the one with all knowledge about how to enter situations and relationships and conditions and realities that bring us to our knees. And so come, come, Father, don't hold back, don't delay. Come, come with your grace. Come in this Advent season, come right now. And we rejoice, we do rejoice that you are the God who comes. You are the God who comes to us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, come and set us free. Come and do a new thing. In the holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, I'll be back. I've got more scripture for more and other types of anxiety in a minute. Hey, welcome back to the program. You know, I just feel this love for you. Just feel this love. Like the Lord is saying, Mom, let my people know how much I love them. Let my people know that I do see them. I do hear their cries. I do know their sufferings, and they're not alone. Let them know how much I love them. So one of the ways that the Lord will do that is that I'll begin to feel this sense of wanting to give of myself. Just, I want you to know that the Father loves you. He takes delight in you. And that delight manifests itself with power. He is not a God who's powerless. He is a God that moves with power. Another scripture that speaks to this is Isaiah 41, verse 10. Isaiah 41, 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Let me say that again. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And another verse of scripture, that was Isaiah 41:10. Joshua 1:9 has a similar theme. And it's the Lord speaking to Joshua as he's entering the promised land. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So this is a promise. This is a promise of God to us, his people. And it's not just a truth. Like I could just say to you, it's true. God is a faithful God and he is with you. When you read God's word, when you welcome God's word, when you speak God's word in faith with that stirring of the Spirit, that Holy Spirit who is within you, when you speak that word, when you read that word and welcome that word into your heart, it has power. It has power. It brings light. It brings strength. It brings an awareness. It can bring this really beautiful, tangible awareness of God's presence and speaking his word. And so this is one of those things where it's not magic. It's grace. It's not you have control over God if you read God's word, because if you're doing it with the sense of trying to control God, then you're not reading the scriptures in faith, guided by the Spirit. But if you read the scriptures with devotion, with an authentic sense of faith, looking to the Lord, waiting on the Lord, welcoming the Lord, and welcoming him in his word, then all of a sudden, there will be effects. There will have impacts that reach your life that you hadn't counted on, you hadn't imagined, you hadn't controlled. No, it was the Lord who did it. And one of these things is that he's saying, look, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Don't be anxious. Don't be disturbed, right? Tranquility. Tranquilitas is what the Lord wills. So don't be dismayed. And what is the Lord promising? When the first and most important thing he's promising is what? His presence, his very presence. Have you ever felt that? Like one of the signs of a strong leader, one of the indicators that someone is exercising influential leadership is that when the leader shows up in the room, everyone breathes easier. Everyone has a sense of confidence. Like, it's okay. Everything will be fine. He's here. I told the story about when I left the seminary and I moved to Manchester, New Hampshire to work for a Catholic church, St. Marie's. This was back in 1989. I also moved into a men's household. And so there were single Catholic young men, 18 to 30, and women who lived in apartments, men together, women together. And there were about 20 of us in four apartments. And my older brother, George, was the overall leader of the households. And one of the things that was apparent, and it grew in my awareness as time went on, was the way in which the members of the household felt so comfortable and confident when George was around. I can remember one time, and it was like we were all together, and there was this sense of like, okay, is everything going to be all right? What's going on here? And all of a sudden, George came in. I was like, okay, we're good. We're good. George is here. It's like nothing is going to happen that he won't take care of it. He's got this. And then I remember when it was his time to finish as leader of that men's household. He was getting married, so time for him to move on. And I became the overall leader of the households, again, the men's and the women's households. And I still remember the first meeting where we're all gathered together, and the meeting hadn't started yet, and George wasn't there, but I was. George wasn't there because he was no longer a member of the household. And I can remember feeling anxious. I can remember sensing a bit of anxiety in the room, like, okay, well, what's going on here? Well, are we going to get started? Well, what's? And it just, the light bulb went on. I realized it. Wait a minute. Everyone is waiting for me to step into that spot that George had left behind. To step in and say, all right, guys, we got this. Let's go. I remember it just vividly, this sense of saying, okay, I got this. Let's do this. And I stood up. I said, okay, everybody, let's go. Let's get started, blah, blah, blah. And everyone was like, yes, all right, let's go. And so there's something tangible that has a powerful impact on our lives when we sense the presence of one who's leading us. And if we ever are able to do that as human beings, and as Catholic Christian disciples of Jesus, it's because the Lord is doing it for us first. It's because the Lord is leading us in our lives. And so one of the ways to overcome this sense of anxiety is by the realization, the recognition, the awareness, the consciousness, he's with me. And the one who is with me, who is actually consciously present to me, and is present here with me, is the one who's all-powerful. He's the one who knows the way, who will show the way, who will prompt us to walk in the way, and he's going to be with us wherever we go, with his strength. So if we know that, guess what we're not going to be? We will not be dismayed. We won't be anxious. So one of the great gifts that the Lord wills for our lives is this consciousness of his presence. One of the, let's call it, foundational spiritual practices in our Catholic tradition, the tradition of growth in the spiritual life, is what is called the practice of the presence of God. The practice of the presence of God. That's Brother Lawrence of the Resurrection. It's a small book, and it's easy to read. It's an easy to read and understand book. Now, it's not that easy to live. The concepts are pretty simple. But whatever you're doing, do so conscious of the presence of God. Okay, there you go. I just gave you the theme of the book. But he develops a practice. How do I undertake a discipline of life that will have this sensitivity to God's presence emerge? And honestly, I won't get into all the details. You have to have a solid, rock-solid prayer life. In our time of prayer, our personal prayer time, that's the time and place where we become imbued, we soak in God's presence. And in soaking in God's presence, we then are able to move from the time of prayer into our day. And brothers and sisters, you'll see it. When you begin in prayer, when you soak in prayer, when you let the Lord move more fully into your life in prayer, your day will go easier because you'll have that consciousness, that recognition that he's with you. Lord Jesus, please give us the grace to pray well. And Lord, I pray that the fruit of that prayer would be that we would sense your presence more fully, so that anxiety would wash away, for you are with us always. You are with us today. You're providing us with strength. Your power can see us through and set us free. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless your day. Join me tomorrow. No, not tomorrow. Join me on Monday for Sound Insight.